This is a replay of the Wednesday night, December 13th, WGN show we started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and you can vote for those guilty pleasures. Been getting some email votes today. That's right, the songs that you utterly love but are absolutely embarrassed to admit it. And we're compiling our top 10, which we will reveal Christmas night when we're joined by Steve Bryant, who always has a ton of great stories. So we'll spend Christmas night, that's Monday night, December 25th, live for 3 hours from 10 to 1. Now, as I was saying, can I have your attention? And that answer is no. Boy, is it ever. And that's been studied. And of course, probably for no reason more important economically than advertisers, for instance. They want to know, how long can I keep somebody's attention? Well, interestingly, at the turn of last century, around 2000, the average time a person would spend with anything, and this could be a computer screen, it could be, you know, a television, it could be whatever, was 2 minutes and 47 seconds. That's what was average. That you could, the height of capturing somebody's attention was less than 2.5 minutes, or more, a little more than 2.5 minutes. Well, those are the good old days. In the last 5 years, that's gone down to under 45 seconds. Yeah. And in general, depending on the surveys, I saw one that Sanjay Gupta did that said it was a 47-second attention span. I've seen others that are less. But the bottom line, at least for commercials, what they were once aiming to get across in 60 seconds, then 30 seconds, then the 15, now it's not unusual to see a 6-second message. And yeah, the fine line between attention and distraction, to say the least. And let's face it, we're all somewhat challenged to pay attention to whatever it is we're doing at the moment. But we have now gotten to a point that is utterly stupefying, and everybody's paying attention to this. So much so that now the Associated Press is telling journalists to keep stories under 500 words. Reuters America is saying the same thing. The average length of a movie shot is now under 5 seconds. And so multitasking while you're tasking has become the norm among younger people. And that's interesting. Individuals who are always holding a device and are panicked without one, as far as that goes. And that doesn't matter if they're eating dinner with the family or they're doing their homework or what they're doing. They're doing multiple things at once, and invariably it involves something you're holding in your hand. But the idea that the attention span is anywhere near what we're used to thinking of it, forget about it. Yeah. And it's interesting in focus groups and all that nature that really, really really is proven. In one of the participants said, is there any cell in your body that's, well, as soon as this is over, I'm going to go right over and get my phone? And the other participant said, every cell. Yeah, they could barely sit in the focus group as far as that goes. And this explains also why you're seeing utterly busy screens on television or on computer with eight things going on at once, because it's all designed to, well, let's see if we can capture more than 47 seconds of their attention. So what that means in the real world, I'm not sure, but I would think that for many concepts, it's longer than 47 seconds to parse them or to grasp them. But now that I'm reading this, it's suddenly, I've got a few different business negotiations going on right now. And suddenly it's like, oh, now I see why I'm getting the responses I am. Just utterly alarming. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And Eduardo is joining us. He's going to Brazil. All right, Eduardo, where are you going?
Yeah, Saturday I leave. And it'll go into Sunday. 7 a.m. and I'll be in downtown Rio. I'll be about a block away from the U.S. consulate.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I'll be there a week. Besides doing the usual party, the Christ the Redeemer and the what's the other one?
Sugarloaf, Christ the Redeemer, of course. So you'll fly into Antonio Carlos Jobim International. They've renamed it, and that'll be fun. Yeah, there's actually three airports in Rio, but I'm sure you're going into international. Considering where you're going from.
Actually, I'll be near Santos Dumont, which is near downtown.
You're not flying into Santos Dumont, though, are you?
No. Yeah. No, I'm going into the main one.
Yeah.
But I'll be staying right there in downtown Rio.
Okay.
There's metro stops that I'll be utilizing for getting a couple of tours. They're going to pick me up, but some tours I'll need to go on my own.
Uh-huh.
But there's a subway, and I was studying the map with that, and I have a good idea where I need to get off on the tours.
Right.
Because some are going to be shared. Some of them are going to be solo, just like private tours.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one I'm looking forward to is the Petropolis, which is north of Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to see also something about Oscar Niemeyer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there is a three-hour walking tour with a guy in a guitar. Recollecting the bossa nova thing. I did find that fun.
Well, when you're on your own, particularly in the subway and things like this, don't be flashy and don't wear jewelry.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty good. I mean,
yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, since I'm from Chicago and not like...
Yeah, this is a whole different world.
Stuff,
no. This is a whole different world.
Yeah. But you kind of know that what to do... Using common sense, not to do anything flashy like that. So,
yeah, at all.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm somebody who not only listens to Chicago radio, but I listen to KFI, and they tell all the good things on what happens over there. And I listen to a New York station. I get to hear about all the good and bad stuff over there in New York. So, there's some similarities, but yeah, you use common sense and you don't do anything like that, like flashing jewelry. And I mean, I'm not going to be.
Yeah, I was waiting when you're telling me what you're listening to. I was waiting for you to tell me you were listening to Rede Globo. are you listening to anything Brazilian at this point?
Oh yeah, I mean, I still listen to the sounds of Brazil, and.
No, I meant television news, like Rede Globo, which is TV Globo now, but yes.
Yeah, well, I have Spanish, too, because I have Telemundo and Univision.
Univision. I don't expect you to say Univision. I hate when people do that. It's Univision, it always has been, it always will be, and it just bothers the heck out of me when Americans bastardize it and call it Univision.
Yeah, well, speaking of Spanish, over there, they're not too hot on Spanish.
No,
I mean,
they're not.
Portuguese.
Right. They are not. Yeah. You're better off trying to speak sometimes. Although Spanish is closer, you're better off trying to speak in English most of the time.
That's my attitude when I over there. I'm kind of going to like not go and get lazy and do the Spanish and just stick to the English.
Yeah. Well, good. So how long are you going to be there?
I'll be there a week.
Okay.
It's going to be close to Christmas. Yeah, I wanted to go because I found out that along with Europe, come New Year, there'll be, I mean, some people may not find this as a hassle, but in my opinion, I think it is somewhat of a hassle, and that is visa requirements.
Uh-huh.
Not only having a passport, but you'll need to have a visa.
Right.
Check that out.
Yes. Well, in many places you do right now, but you're right. The list of countries where that's going to be mandatory is increasing.
Yeah. And then obviously in a place like that, you don't want to be there when they have the big celebration.
Well, carnival, right.
Of Mardi Gras.
Right, carnival. You're not going to do that. But you're going
right.
a great time because, of course, you're at the height of summer here. So when you're there. So that'll be just perfect.
Yeah. Believe me. Speaking of that, I heard the news. So they're thinking a record number of people are going to be traveling. And they always say COVID, but COVID's been gone for a couple of years. I mean, they said that last year, but now they're saying, oh, now there's a record number of people traveling because of post-COVID.
Well, yeah. It'll be interesting. And COVID's not gone entirely, of course, but it slipped back into like any other virus pretty much. You know, you may or you may not get it, and it may or may not be a problem, but it's not anything to plan your life around as people were for a while. So yeah. Well, so yeah. A week in Brazil, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, so here's the thing. My brother made it into Tampa Saturday, so he's going to be watching Mom.
Okay.
I mean, they're not hot on the travel.
Right.
They used to, but, my brother never was hot on travel, but my mother was when she was younger. She says, if I was younger, I would definitely go, but she says she's getting up there, so she says, she wants to just park it and closer to home.
Sure, I understand that. So, are you flying out of Miami ultimately?
No, I'm gonna be flying out of Tampa. The
really?
Airline is Copa, and I used them when I went to Peru some years ago, and it's a very nice airline, nice service. So I figure I'd try them again. Copa
okay.
Airlines.
Yeah, I've never been.
Anybody
on.
Interested? Yeah, anybody interested doing the Latin American, you know, Central America, South America, check out Copa. I think they're pretty reliable.
Well, I know they're inexpensive, but I've never, ever been on them. And I must admit to ignorance, the last Brazilian airline I knew was Varig, so I don't know. I know almost nothing about it.
Yeah, they're based out of Panama, and usually the transfers, as far as where you do connections,
right.
in Panama, usually. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. But from Tampa, are you going nonstop?
No, I got to go into Panama and switch planes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'll be there Sunday around 7 a.m. if everything goes well. The only thing I'm nervous about, and this is why I'm not going to take a car, is I'm going to take a taxi instead, because on the following weekend when I come back, the flight is going to be 1:30 their time. And I'm supposed to be back here at 1 p.m. next Saturday, the 23rd.
Yeah.
I don't know how reliable that's going to be, but I didn't want to leave the car in the lot of the airport. So instead, I'm going to do the taxi.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that.
That's the plan. I mean, it took some planning. You know, I didn't want to just start clicking away. You know, there's planning and, you know, what you're going to see and how are you going to get there and all that. So,
because
it's been a while since I've done a foreign trip. My last foreign trip was before COVID, and that was to Egypt.
Oh, well, this will be a lot different.
Yeah, because mostly I've just been doing domestic flights post-COVID. So this will be the first one after COVID. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, good. Good. I can't wait to hear the details. And like I said, it's a perfect time of year for it.
Yeah, I thought I'd go before the big party with Mardi Gras. So
right, absolutely.
Time to go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's you don't want to be...
Right, that's crazy time. It really is. And no, you wanna be a little more low-key than that and travel around. And maybe you'll get over to Niterói. So check it out and see if you want to go.
Speaking of that, I was just looking at that yesterday because we were talking about Oscar Niemeyer.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's got a museum
over
there.
That's correct.
Which is pretty close to where I'm staying.
Yeah, well, Niterói. In fact, Sergio Mendes was born in Niterói. So
okay.
Yeah, it's got some really nice areas. So that could be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the Niemeyer Museum has the tours in both English and in Portuguese. So you know, not in Spanish, obviously, thank God. But you could take it in English if you wanted. And
right.
You know, it's a contemporary art museum. You've probably seen pictures of it. Kind of looks like it landed from another planet. So
right.
So that should be fun, and it's right on a cliffside over the bay. And yeah. Well, if you go to Niterói, I want to hear all about how it is these days.
Definitely, yeah. I'll definitely look forward to telling you the highlights.
Yeah.
Besides just going up to the Redeemer and, you know, some other stuff that you just, you know, the beach and, you know, some more tours that are maybe don't get the flashy that they should.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, of course, at one time Rio had been the capital and then they moved it to Brasilia. And the interesting part about that is when they did, there weren't any roads there. And so they had more later jet traffic, but plane traffic than probably any country in the world. And I understand you now can drive to Brasilia, but when they first moved the capital, you could not. So that's an interesting deal there too. And interestingly, I say it opened in 1960. That's when they moved it, but they approved it in 1891. So I guess things move slowly.
When they had the Olympics, because they had the Olympics some years ago, and anytime a city has an Olympics, they really do a fixer-up, like putting in a highway or a subway or something like that.
Well, I'm sure that helped, but it was... it was interesting, the number of people since the 1890s who talked about why they were doing it, but they finally inaugurated it. I think it was April of 60. And, it's got roads. So that'll all be fun.
Yeah. What's your show tomorrow?
I have a big half hour tomorrow and a big half hour on Monday. And then after that, full shows all next week and full show Christmas.
Yeah.
So tomorrow and Monday are brief moments in time, but I'll be here if you want to call.
Yeah. Well, if not, I'll do it on the way back.
Yeah.
And give you the highlights. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear about every word because, you know, my direct knowledge stops in 1962. So I can't speak to anything since then and can't wait to hear about it.
Well, hopefully I'll pick up something that you may not know. So
okay.
That,
looking forward to it.
On the air.
All right. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Thank you for your time. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. You can vote on those guilty pleasures or whatever else is on your mind. We'll find a couple of things as well because, you know, I have the tabloids. That's right. And I know that some people absolutely hate them. I get emails. But when I mentioned that last time, I got two or three emails from people saying, oh, the tabloids were my favorite part. So maybe we'll get to some of that too. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Hey girl, I want you to know I'm gonna miss you so much if you go. And hey girl, I tell you no lie, something deep inside say so long. If this is goodbye, oh, hey girl, this can't be true. How am I supposed to exist without you? Hey girl, now don't put me
How will I live? How can I go on?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was the height of his career. Freddie Scott. Yeah, born in Providence, Rhode Island, died in New York City. Carole King, Jerry Goffin wrote that, and Jerry produced it, and that was his biggest hit. Yeah, 1962 on Colpix. All right, so Jimmy P. requested that along. He gave me a six-pack, except there are only five records. All right, so we'll play all five of them tonight and some other requests as well. Now, I'm going to get to Johnny D. here in a moment, but before I do, let me remind you that tonight's the night, as we speak, the Geminid Meteor Shower. Yes, the annual Geminid peaks tonight into the morning of the 14th tomorrow. The shower is producing up to 120 meteors per hour with some bright fireballs. And obviously it's annual, so this happens, with some regularity. And annual showers are usually produced when the Earth crosses debris fields and comets as we orbit the sun. And, that's why various showers occur at the same time each year. And in the case of the Geminids, Earth encounters tiny sand-sized particles from the asteroid 3200 Phaethon with some gravel-sized pieces, producing some bright dramatic fireballs lighting up the sky. And most are going to harmlessly vaporize, so don't run for cover necessarily. And by the way, it's at a slow 35 kilometer per second compared to the Perseids in August, which move at about twice that speed. So supposedly, as of 7 this evening, you might have started to see something now. I don't know if you've been looking. The constellation low in the northeast, so greater numbers as the constellation rises throughout the night. And the moon is not interfering this year. That's right, because, as you know, it was a new moon on the 12th, so you don't have to worry about the moon getting in the way. It is said to be a must-see event, so if you must see it and you actually do see something, let us know what it is. I mentioned before, John and I saw, well, I'll call it a meteorite, obviously not a meteor, but we were on I-81 in the Allegheny area and in the mountains, and it looked like a softball that was absolutely on fire. The trail of flames from it was just awe-inspiring. And it came damn close to landing on the car. And I was thinking, how am I going to explain this to the insurance agent? But no, it missed us. But it gave us quite the show anyway. So if you are seeing anything with the Geminids, let us know. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Johnny D. in Ohio. How's it going tonight, Johnny D.?
Hola, ¿cómo está usted?
Nada. Absolutely nothing.
I asked you how you are.
Yeah,
you said nothing?
And I said nada. Nothing going on here. I'm fine. Whatever, you know.
Estoy bien, you
any too?
Of my emails? Yeah.
I know you wrote some, but I haven't seen them yet. But I will.
God.
I know. It's like that.
Go ahead, speak.
Yeah, I was saying it's like that. So I'll.
It's like that.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
let me see here. I was thinking since Eduardo is going to stick with English,
yeah,
I'm going to do some Spanish. Now, this is how long my attention span is, Raleigh. Now, I even missed where Eduardo was going. Somewhere in Central America?
No, he's going to Rio.
Rio. Okay. Yeah. Because I heard you talking about Panama. Did you say
Panama? Well, no, because he's flying the airline that's the Panamanian airline, so he'll change planes there. Now, if he would go out of Miami and go LATAM, he could go nonstop. That's why I assume he was going out of Miami, but he'll...
You used to live in South America, didn't you?
Yep. Part-time, yep. My adopted dad was Bolivian, so, yeah, we spent a lot of time
Bolivian.
There. Yep.
They got a lot of good boxers from down in that area, you know.
Have no idea. But I will say it's really interesting in that Brazil, by far, the largest country, but it operates, and maybe it's a language barrier, I don't know, but really on its own, because for the rest of South America, you almost discount Brazil. You know, it's like when you think of the big city, if you're in Bolivia and you need medical care or something, you think you're going to go to Buenos Aires, you know, in Argentina. And if you're going on vacation, maybe you'll go to Montevideo in Uruguay. But you don't normally think of Brazil, although most of the immigrants come through the ports if they're doing the ships through Rio.
Yeah. Well, Eduardo is one of the songs. I got a Jimmy P gave you a 6-pack. I got a 12-pack.
Oh yeah. Well, let me get a pen. All right.
Yeah. Actually, I got a case, but I'm only going to give you a 12-pack.
Yeah, we all have a case. All right. So now let's see what you got for me.
Let me see here. Because what the heck? All right. Here's what I did, Wally. a couple days ago, because I had to go back to Youngstown for my cousin's burial, funeral, you know.
Yeah.
And that went, my cousin Assunta, she gave him a wonderful sending off.
Good.
You know, and the mass was really good, to speaking. My brother, my younger brother, did the, what do you call it? Oh, no, he did a reading, you know.
Good.
Yeah. And then there was a luncheon or something.
Uh-huh.
And, it was at a place called Donavito's. And, man, it was delicious. The food was delicious.
Good.
They had sausage, peppers, and onions, and ziti.
Wow.
And chicken parmesan with green beans with garlic and olive oil and all that.
Yeah.
It was excellent. Excellent. Good. But anyhow, let's see here. Rambling Man, I think that was the one that I was thinking of by Eduardo.
Mm.
Oh, no. You know that one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, that's one of my guilty pleasures. Now, here's what it is. See, Becky, I was talking to Becky a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't seen her since because I was away. But anyhow, so she brought up, I'm trying to scan up to, because I made a list.
Yes.
Like.
Yes.
Light music, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so, I'm trying to find, she did a Carpenter song.
Oh, God.
She told me a Carpenter song, and let me see if I can find it here. All right, I'll just come upon it maybe, but what I got here is Windy, the Association.
Okay.
And then I got Turn, 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 the Birds.
Uh-huh.
And then I got Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
And then I got Let's Work Together, Canned Heat.
Okay.
Let's work together.
Now, let me ask you, remember, the deal is these are supposed to be songs you're embarrassed to admit you like.
Well, come on. These are not what I normally would do.
Well, I would think you couldn't be embarrassed over them, though. Maybe Windy, I don't know. But, you know, Let's Work Together, Canned Heat, that's not an embarrassment, is it?
Canned Heat? Let me see, which one of the... Oh, yeah, Let's Work Together.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's Work Together.
it's not like Patience and Prudence or anything.
Okay, well then, if you don't want that one, then
no, it's your list.
I want it.
Yeah, if it's
how
your
about
list.
Sunshine and Superman.
All right, again, this is your list. If you'd be embarrassed at a dinner, whatever, to say, you know, I liked Canned Heat, Let's Work Together. If you'd be embarrassed, then it counts.
Well, it counts for me.
All right, Donovan, good deal.
How about Sunshine and Superman?
Yeah, Donovan.
Sunshine.
Yeah. 1966. Yes, I remember it.
Okay. And then how about, let me see, I got here, I'm going to have to skip a couple that you wouldn't think, even know, I don't think. Would you know Carry On by the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young?
Yeah, well, you know, again, they have to be hits, and that was, so it doesn't matter if I know them or not, but yeah, I'm aware of it. So, but I would think you would be proud to admit that, just knowing you.
Well, I used to sing that.
Yeah, well, so that's not like admitting that you secretly like the Captain and Tennille or anything.
I did like the Captain.
Oh, well,
let me see here.
And there's actually
how many did I give you so far?
While we're at it, there's actually a Carpenter song I like, so it does happen.
Yeah, what was the Carpenter song she told me?
Probably isn't the one I'd pick, but I like All You Get From Love Is a Love Song.
All right. Well, I know that it was on this list, but see, I'm scrolling up and down.
Yes,
you know?
Of course you are. Attention deficit and all that.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. You know, I'm so poor, I can't pay attention.
Right, exactly, yes. Yes.
By
the way, I thought Carry On was Kansas.
No, Carry On is Kansas, but also Crosby, Stills, and Nash made a song, Carry On.
Not the same song?
Carry on, love is coming to us all. Where are you going now, my love? Where will you be tomorrow? Remember that?
No. I guarantee you I don't remember.
Carry on.
Was that a hit?
Are you kidding? No. It was a big hit.
Okay.
Carry on, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
All right.
Now you're thinking of Carry On My Wayward Son.
Yeah.
That's a Kansas.
Right, that is Kansas.
Yeah. All right. But anyhow, Carry On by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Look it up. You might remember.
Yeah, no, I doubt it will. But also Bobby Caldwell had a song, Carry On. So apparently this is a common title. But I'll look for the Crosby, Stills, and Nash to write it down on the list.
To us all, where you go. Okay,
yes.
Anyhow.
Uh-huh.
Morning has broke. Cat Stevens.
You like that?
I like Cat Stevens' Morning Has Broken Like the First Morning.
Okay, very good.
And then, how about El Calypso, John Denver?
Oh, God. All right.
And then how about this one? And then I got two more.
Oh, yeah, as many as you want.
Please come to Boston, she said no.
Okay, David Loggins.
Probably Dave Loggins.
Yeah, I know. Columbia.
I don't know.
No, I do. I absolutely do. All right, so yes, please come to Boston. All right.
And then I have Venture Highway.
Oh, gosh. America.
America.
America. Okay. All right.
So that's about a 12-pack, isn't it?
No, not really. Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8. Well, 10. You got 10.
Okay, well, then I got two more. Let me see.
Well, now, wait. Do you want me to count Ramblin' Man by the Allman Brothers?
Yeah. Okay, did I say that?
Yeah, at the very beginning, you sort of danced around. All right, so that's 11.
Oh, I was born a man. That's Eduardo. He's a Ramblin' Man.
All right, so what's your 12th?
It's all over the place.
What's your 12th?
I go to Youngstown. That's where I go. And then I have, you like this. Well, that's a pretty good song. Rolling with the Flow. Charlie Rich.
Sure, Rolling with the Flow. All right. You're embarrassed to
and
admit that?
And then I'll do, also, well, let me scroll up here. I like Driving My Life Away, Eddie Rabbit.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
All right,
so
thank you.
Very good. Tonight.
Fine choices, and I appreciate every one of them. Thanks, Johnny.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good deal. All right, so we'll get to Dave in LaSalle and Dave in Chicago and James on the south side and the Sea Crane Company. Want to talk about the CC Radio 2E, which is a terrific radio. If you have a catalog, it's on page 8. You can read all about it. And it's my bedside companion, and it's truly great because, like every radio that Bob Crane has developed, it has better reception. I mean, actually, it has the best reception of anything you're going to get on the market available today. In fact, if you take the average radio and you put it next to the 2E and you tune to a weak AM station, just compare them. Yeah, probably won't even hear it on the average station, and it'll probably come in fine on the 2E, and that's the joy of it. And not only AM, but great FM reception as well. And in addition, it's got a digital readout and fine-tuning ability with that in 1 kHz increments and megahertz. And it's got a clock and alarm and a weather band, that's right, and a little dial light. and it sounds good. One of the best sounding radios out there. You will hear things with better clarity, and you'll be able to check out the bass and treble and get it just the way you want it to be. And of course, since you're getting the weather alerts and the weather bands, you will never be caught off guard. It's just a terrific radio. It's got the power and the strength to bring the signal in better, period. You can take a look at the CC radio and the Sea Crane catalog. That's ccradio.com. You can get in black or titanium. And it's on page 8, like I say. But if you can't go online for some reason, well, all right, give them a call. They've got the best customer service in the world, really. In-house, they'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a catalog, and you can order right online, right on the phone. And that's 800-522-8863. But the best thing to do is go online. The only problem with this catalog is you're going to find something you just got to have. Oh, yeah. There's so many. Well, like for me recently, I'm really hooked on those pillow speakers. They're just terrific. But you can see it for yourself and see the CC Radio 2E. It's truly a gem. And you tell them Raleigh sent you. At ccradio.com on WGM Radio.
Like sailing on a sailing ship to
my credibility. There's a Carpenter song I like, and there it is. Yes, all you get from love is a love song. I promise not to play it again. All right, so we'll get back to your calls. Dave in LaSalle and Dave in Chicago, James on the South Side, and you coming up right here on WGN Radio. Someone. This is the guy who wrote the Carpenter song I like, and Steve Eaton. He released it himself on Capitol in 74. Wasn't nearly as good as this, but he put an album out about 20 years ago, Out of the Blues, and this was on it, and I thought it was so nice. All right, well, enough about me, and more about you. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, Dave is in LaSalle. What's going on, Dave? Hello, Dave. Ah, we've lost Dave. Dave wouldn't hang around. Well, hopefully he'll call back at some point, because I'd love to talk to him. All right, but Dave is in Chicago. All right, Dave. Have we lost you too? Yeah, I'm afraid we lost both Daves. A pair of Daves. Oh, well. I tried. Yes. Let's see if Elaine hung around a while. Are you there, Elaine?
Yes, I am.
All right. So thank you for waiting.
Yes, I have two guilty pleasures.
Good.
Tammy.
Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds, yeah.
Well, you know, you're in good company. That was Berry Gordy's favorite song, and he wanted to name his record label Tammy, and it wasn't available, and that's how he came up with Tamla.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, okay. So you're not alone.
Oh, and I think the name is Secret Love, Doris Day.
Oh, yes, that would be it. Big hit. You betcha. All right, good deal. That's the spirit. Appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so there you have it. That's it. The songs that you are absolutely embarrassed to admit that you like. And Cleveland Dennis. All right, so he should know this because I have, by the way, a couple of your requests slated for tonight, including, let's see, where are they here? I've got to move them here. What's on this computer? I picked a few things that I know you'll like.
Larry Williams.
Yeah, I've got Larry Williams, which is a horrible, horrible record, but I do have it here. And also Everly Brothers, Walk Right Back.
Right.
Yeah, and Bobby Goldsboro, It's Too Late.
Oh, yeah, that way too. Wow.
Yeah, but that Larry Williams, you should be embarrassed. That is one of the worst things I've ever heard, but I have it.
I never heard it before.
Oh, my God.
I heard it the other day.
Yeah.
And I thought it was okay, so our tastes do differ.
Yeah, I'll say.
Okay, but wait, you said, you know, like that one song by the Marcells, and I forgot to mention Goodbye to Love. Okay.
Yes.
By Marcells. That's on the same album as Good Job or whatever, but I can make that request for the future. But I'm calling to talk about Brazil a little bit, because Eduardo was talking about it, and you were, but I used to deal with a fellow who came from Germany, grew up in Detroit, was a engineer of some sort. He worked with Chrysler. He was down there in Brazil, and all of a sudden he's in the shoe business. There's a lot of German immigrants after the war that built up in Novo Hamburgo and those places the shoe industry. Well, we did quite well with the shoes in the late 90s, Nine West and all that, the big Hudson, and it was a great business. We did so well that they made enough money to open up their own warehouse, and we were left in the lurch. Nonetheless, the things about Brazil you were talking about are fascinating, and never been there, but I can tell you from my agent that they used to go and do sales calls with long trips and a lot of talk in between. We had some interesting stuff to say about Brazil and that goes on.
Sure. All right.
Anyhow, somebody mentioned Donovan. Saw Donovan live. He sat on a pillow and did a concert.
Okay.
About 1969, they didn't call the auditorium. My list, that's really about it. I wanted to call in and offer my 2 cents, and that's all I got.
Well, it's good. It's good to hear from you. We're going to have to raise money to get you a new phone, but other than that, all is well, and I will get to your requests, hopefully all of them tonight.
New earbuds. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Yeah, I'm not saying we should go back to the days of Ma Bell and those ridiculous prices and that $5 for the first 3 minutes and $1 for every minute thereafter, but man, you just can't fault a landline for a real landline for good service. They're fewer and farther between today. Yeah, you think you got a landline. It's copper leading your house. Yeah, but wait till it gets into that VoIP interchange. All right, Dave called back in LaSalle. Okay, so Dave, thanks for calling back.
Okay, Raleigh, thank you. We're having little power issues around here, and my phone kind of volume of that. But anyhow, what I'm calling you about is last week, I don't know if you remember, I talked to you about Barb Lewis doing Hello Strangers.
Yes, and I played it. I played several versions, yes.
You did, and I appreciate that. And I want to tell you, I listened, you know, the Capitals, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I repeated it. I liked it. And Von Elam, my God, talking about nailing it.
Yeah.
It's a terrific version. I just want to thank you again. I just put them all on back to back to back.
Oh, good. You. Good. Yeah. Oh, there's a ton more. If that turns out to be like your favorite song, you can probably find 30 different versions.
Yeah, it is one of my favorites, I loved every one of them. And thanks for doing that.
Sure.
I have one or two songs tonight for you, if you get a chance.
Sure.
I like a song, a nice instrumental upbeat tune called Walking with Mr. Lee.
Oh, okay, sure. Lee Allen. Okay.
Yeah, and one other one, Don't Say Nothing Bad About My Baby.
Oh, the Cookies. Oh, no, don't you know. Yes, on Dimensions.
Know, I think Carole King had something.
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely right out of that stable, you betcha. And the follow-up, Girls Grow Up Faster Than Boys Do. So absolutely. It probably won't be tonight, but it will be next week for both of them. All right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to thank you, and I'll enjoy listening to your show, and to you and your staff, have a good one. Okay?
You too. Thanks. Yeah, Carole King and Earl Jean. Oh, well, there's gossip for you if you want a real soap opera. Okay, he can read about that. In the meantime, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we'll get to James from Southside and his 9 zillion stories. And as usual, he comes through with with some mind-boggling tales. So your calls are welcome, too, on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is the marvelous Marvelette, Strange I Know. Jimmy P. wanted to hear that 1962 on Tamla with Gladys Horton's wonderful voice in on lead. Absolutely. All right, so Dan K. wrote to me. Oh, man. Some of it is not readable on the air. But the gist of it was, you know, don't start a story and not tell me about it. What about Earl Jean and Carole King? All right. Let me give Cliff Notes. Actually, isn't Earl Jean and Carole King? Well, in a way it is. Earl Jean had a child with Jerry Goffin while he was married to Carole King. Carole didn't like to come to New York. And, you know, all those stories about how they worked in the Brill Building and all that, that's absolutely not true. She was a housewife in New Jersey. And that's where she wanted to be, playing canasta and that kind of stuff. So anyway, one thing led to another. And Earl Jean. Now, by the way, Earl Jean was married. All right. And this is the part of the story I don't know. So if you do, I'd love all the information. But she was married to Grant Reavis, and they already had a child. And then she had a child with Jerry Goffin. I don't know what happened to Grant Reavis. Never heard about a divorce. Don't have any idea what the deal is. But it was kind of this accepted thing. And Carole King was just supposed to, you know, take it. and spend time with the child and all that, that kind of stuff. And basically, basically she did. And so that's the deal with that. And Earl Jean's older sister, Darlene, was one of the original members of the Cookies, the group that formed in the mid-50s that evolved into the Raelettes and all that. And then in 61, Earl Jean was persuaded to join a new version. And, you know, they were signed to Dimension. And, you know, that was Don't Say Nothing Bad About My Baby and Chains and Girls Grow Up Faster Than Boys Do. And then she left the Cookies and signed as a solo act for Colpix. And she recorded the original I'm Into Something Good, which later Hermes Hermits had a big hit with. That, of course, Goffin and King wrote. So I guess you can't talk to Jerry Goffin about it. He's no longer with us. I don't know if Earl Jean is still around. I know later she had a daycare center and was doing stuff like that, but I don't know what happened to her. And I have no idea what Carole King would say about it. But that is absolutely for the record that Earl Jean and Jerry Goffin had a child. Okay, are we happy now? So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh and Dave from Chicago called back. All right, thanks for doing that, Dave. Welcome to WGN. No, you didn't leave again, did you? Yeah, I guess so. Oh man. All right. Dave, I guess, has a short attention span, but that's okay. He'll call back, I'm sure. Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, yeah. Now I was gonna get on your case for not giving me the rest of that information. But thank goodness.
You too. Everyone's a critic. All right. Yeah. You didn't know. you didn't know that story.
No, I did not.
Well, like I say, the real outrage was Jerry Goffin just thought, well, yeah, Carole should babysit him and all. You know, I mean, yeah. It was.
I heard that Earl Jean had quite the reputation, but...
But I still want to know, what happened to Grant Reeves? That was the husband.
I never heard about a
divorce. I never heard about him killing anybody. I think I would. But, you know...
I don't know. As I said, I didn't even know, what you had said. So, but I was sitting there going, okay, that's one of the reasons that it got me out of bed and got me to get up and call.
Well, now, you know, Jeannie Reeves says she was.
Wait a minute, Raleigh, what is the rest of the story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there's a, I'm sure there is documentation of this. I mean, beyond a birth certificate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyway, back to guilty pleasures.
Yes.
This one I really, some of them I'm a little guilty about or, kind of not, a little ashamed to admit I like them. But this one I'm really ashamed to admit I like.
Yeah.
Mellow Yellow.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I would be too. But
God.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
And worse than that, Barabba Juggle.
Oh, my God. Goo, goo, goo. All right.
Yes. It's one of those songs that, I mean, some songs, I can kind of figure out why I like them, even though I think they're, schlocky or something. But those two songs, why? Fran, what is wrong with you? Why?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I hated it when you'd have to write it out on a playlist because Barabba Jaggle is not easy to spell. Too many A's.
B-A-R-A-B-A-J-A-J-A-G-A-L.
Barabba Jaggle.
Ay-yay-yay.
Yeah, you didn't realize that? Yes. Somebody bought too many A's from Vanna. If there's any, and it was, by the way, Donovan with Jeff Beck, which explains it all, really. If there's somebody who hasn't heard Goo Goo Barabba Jaggle, let's hear a few, just not much, but... Yeah, well, obviously, if that's his name, no one could spell it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, it always trips me up because when you got to the part after the B-A-R-A-B, the A-J-A-G-A-L, I would always screw that up, A-G-A-J-A-L. I don't know, but anyway, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I had the record. I know that, and I think I just put B-A-R-A-B.
Right, that's enough. Yes, A-J-A-G-A-L.
Yeah, okay, what else is spelled like that, you know?
Well, absolutely nothing, and that is the Jeff Beck group behind him, of course, and backing vocal.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of people who did backing on that, one of them you like, I'm sure, I hope anyway, Madeline Bell was one of the backup singers.
Oh, okay.
So was Susie Quattro.
Oh, quite a group.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was recorded at Olympic in London, and Mickey Most produced that song. So apparently, the name was inspired from "I Am the Walrus."
Oh well, there's Cuckoo Gajoob, but
right, yeah, Gajoob, yeah, exactly, right. So,
yeah, I know, Raleigh. What can I say? I need help.
that's all right. You know, a lot of good people were involved in that record. It was a hit in Czechoslovakia. I'm not making this up. By some Czechoslovakian actor. So yeah, what can I tell you? All right, so John says I have to go to the news, like, right now.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, bye.
All right, so this is Right Now on WGN Radio.
Beware, I'm out to get you. I'll take care. I can't resist you, your touch. Love you too much. Better be. Where I need you, want you to know, dear, oh, I really do, dear, your touch, love you too much, oh, beware, oh. Treasures do I own. Oh, if I had your love, I would be the richest man in history. So, beware, I'm out to get you. Take care. Can't resist you, your touch. Love you too much. Oh, you better beware.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's an alternate take of Beware. I actually liked it better than the hit. Jesse Belvin and his wife Joanne wrote Beware, 1957 on Cash. And Jesse would have turned 91 years old tomorrow, born in 1932 in San Antonio. And I'll tell you what, had he lived, he would have been huge. I mean, this guy was so talented, wrote so much, did so much, and basically always shrugged it off. You know, he'd sell songs for $50 or, you know, not even bother to copyright them, or he's in this group and that group and the other group. He was just having a good time. But he was so good. And in fact, his final performance was that concert in Little Rock. It was just a disaster. With Sam Cooke and Marv Johnson and Jackie Wilson. It was a great concert, but the disaster was it was Little Rock, and it was integrated, and everybody hated that. And then on the way out of town, on the highway, he died, and Joanne did too, in Hope, Arkansas. And there's a lot of stories that they were being chased or what have you, and that actually wasn't the case. It was they had hired a chauffeur who had been fired by Ray Charles for being asleep at the wheel, and, well, once again, there it was. So, yeah, some say that Barry White was on Goodnight, My Love, playing piano. Barry had denied it, so I don't know. But supposedly a young 11-year-old Barry White doing that. So I'll leave it to you to find that out. But I'm telling you, Jesse Belbin, much like had Sam Cooke lived, of course, I can't tell you how big he would have been, but it would have been huge. And that was true for Jesse as well. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. There's a full live show on Christmas night, and Steve Bryant's going to join me, and we will play back your top 10 of your guilty pleasures. This is the list you've requested after the world's worst hit records. You had said that, well, how about the ones that we're embarrassed to admit we like? Some of them are on the world's worst hit records. Sure, why not? I've done it occasionally, and I will say that usually it's 50-50. Half of the records on the list are on the world's worst hit records, or at least were at one year or another, since we've been doing that since the 80s. So you can do whatever you're talking about. You know, you can throw in your guilty pleasure while you're at it, and that'll be fine. No aspersion will be cast. Well, a little. All right, so with that in mind, like I say, world's best show prep, without a doubt, Carol Show Prep Ford, yeah, and all this artist information, everything else. But I'll tell you, a real surprise to me was James from the South Side, because he comes up with so many links, and I still contend there's absolutely no way that he's read all these stories, unless it is that he just never goes out. So the first question we'll ask is, how, James, is that ankle?
My ankle is okay. I actually fell and sprained it a little bit the other day.
No, just no. I told you, you're not allowed to get up. Just stay in bed.
So as far as the reading, okay, I get to read quite a few, except when my phone decides that it doesn't want to actually show the story.
Yeah.
And that does happen, okay, overall, this phone has been better than its predecessor.
Well, good. I can't believe you're doing it all on a phone. I don't use the darn things. They're too little for me to see. I use laptops.
Somebody tried to get me that to go. I said, well, I had to keep track of two things now.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't take a laptop with me, okay, even though I usually have a book bag. No,
I don't leave home without the laptop. You know, if the purse can't accommodate the laptop, I don't need the purse.
Okay, but I gotta admit, okay, I came across one story that actually made me smile.
Oh yeah,
it was from across the pond. It was about this young man. He was from, I think it was Ghana or one of the, originally. He had been trafficked by drug gangs as a child.
Okay,
he was like basically pretty much being. Okay, he eventually ends up in the UK. That was how he made his escape from the trafficking. He ended up in the UK, and he actually has gone to college, and basically I forget the two degrees at least he's working on. I think one's political science and something else.
Well, good. Good. No, those are always heartwarming. Of course, I never really navigate to those. I get to the ones that are, you know, unbelievable murders, for instance. Or what was the story of lately? It's been, you heard about the squatter, obviously. You sent me the article. And this was a story where the squatter's rights prevailed, and this guy got to keep this dead woman's home. And you'd figure, okay, so he's going to live in it forever. No, he's going to sell it at a profit. And the dead woman's relatives are going to get absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that shocked me. Also from the UK.
Yeah, well, then we also have most fun I've had in a while. Man allegedly crashes drunk into his own home in a dispute over selling it. And this is in Florida, of course. Why would we be surprised? And 61-year-old booked in jail, DUI damage to property, even though it was his own property. And, you know, obviously there's a story there.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a song that you actually hate that I, well, the first time that I actually mentioned about, and you wonder if I should actually include it as a guilty pleasure. I'm not completely inclined.
Okay.
Even though it's, although it is a song from 1953.
Okay.
There Stands the Glass.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. Yes, well, I mean, I guess there should be an Ernest Tubb on everybody's playlist.
Okay, that was one of my father's favorites.
Yeah, well, it was a big, big record. And
yeah.
It was sampled in a record in the last decade or so, some country record we play on our FM, that it was a big hit. So, yeah, there stands the glass. Yes, and so an Ernest Tubb special, to say the least.
Yes.
All right.
And then when we just think that people just can't do enough mean things to each other, we come across the one where somebody where a bartender basically killed he didn't work with this person, this young lady. He killed her with a fire extinguisher.
And yes, yes, yes. And by the way, I have to interrupt and correct myself. It's not Ernest Tubb, it's Webb Pierce. All right, sorry about that.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me. It's Webb Pierce, for God's sakes. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, fire extinguishers, leaf blowers, murder by unusual instrument. It probably should be some kind of a Jeopardy question.
Yeah. And oh, they did. And what was okay? Nobody's quite certain what was the motive or anything. Because apparently her employer, thankfully, was not. Didn't have this particular bartender at his restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, said that this was a person the dead employee was somebody who was like family, who basically was so earnest and basically hardworking that they said she was like family to them. And they pretty much they're kind. I guess you could say they're kind of hoping they see there's maybe a cement sale maybe for this guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. And speaking of cement sales, the Amber Alert in Texas. Yeah, so everybody was all aghast because an 18-year-old Texas teen was missing. They didn't know where she was. Well, she was busy murdering someone.
Oh yeah, that takes the cake and ate it.
Yeah, yeah. Garland police found out that she had met this other guy, and I guess they conspired to rob and kill this guy. And after she was taken into police custody, she said, no, I never met him in person. I wasn't there the night of the actual murder, and officials say they have reason to believe she is lying.
And I mean, okay... I'm fairly certain that unfortunately too many people have pretty much lost their minds and just they said lost and found. Oh, we got a lot of minds here.
Yeah, right, really. Oh no, they're just lost. I don't think they've been found anywhere. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, and which of course makes a mockery of the famous statement. But the college fund, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Right, right. And, well, of course, and then, well, I'll leave that alone. You've got a number of these stories where it just does make you blush when it gets right down to it to see what's happened to humanity. We've gotten to this point. So thank you for all of them.
Okay, you're welcome. Oh, there was... Okay, of course, some of the lottery ones basically make me actually ask the question, man's capacity for greed basically just simply astounds.
Oh, that, of course, but does that really trump man's, stupidity? Those who had the tickets and didn't even know it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, 1.2 million. Okay. Oh, and apparently the guy in California, at least the first one, has really decided to basically lie low, which I gotta admit, I love that part that he does not want to become a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got the waitress who got a $10 million ticket as a tip, and we'll talk about her later. But thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, you take care. Okay, hopefully talk to you tomorrow. If not, you have a nice weekend.
You too. All right, so I don't, and tomorrow's show will be a half hour from midnight 30 till 1 a.m. after the Blackhawks do whatever it is the Blackhawks do. So, yeah, this woman was tipped $10 million as a waitress. Now, what I don't know is she was given the ticket while she was working at a Waffle House in Alabama. What I don't know is whether the person who gave her the ticket had any idea that it was a winning ticket. You know, in other words, it was a customer at the restaurant who just gave the ticket as a tip. I don't think he knew how it was going to come out. And 6 days later, she discovers she won $10 million. Needless to say, she quit her job. She took the $375,000 per year option for 30 years. And, of course, all hell broke loose. See, that's the thing. You never want to admit it if you win the money, because everybody and their brother came out of the closet wanting a piece of her winnings, accusing her of breaking promises to split any winnings, and court battles, and even shootings. Yeah, and first she's taken to Alabama court, where she sued for millions by four other waitresses at the Waffle House. And in 45 minutes, the court ruled against her, which is amazing to me. She had been testified against by a couple at the restaurant who said she told them about the deal she brokered. Well, I don't know. She rejected an offer from the court to keep $3 million and start putting cash into a family business she set up. Now, things looked up in 2000. The Alabama Supreme Court overturned the decision on the basis that the deal made between the waitresses was a form of illegal gambling. Yeah, well, we'll tell you what happened next soon on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Everly Brothers for Cleveland Dennis. And those who thought that the Everly Brothers would die once they left Cadence were absolutely wrong. Exemplar number two, Walk Away. Right? Oh, yes. Well, anyway, Kathy's Clown was a big one. We'll pick it up next hour right here on WGN Radio. Walk right back. Oh, WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Jimmy P wanted that, and boy, didn't have to twist my arm. One of my all-time favorite records, Malo. And a lot of people referred to Malo as Jorge Santana's group, and Jorge was certainly in it, but he was not by any means the lead singer of that. Founding member Arcelio Garcia sung lead. In fact, Jorge Santana died in 2020, and about 3 months after that, he was about 68, by the way, about 3 months after that, Garcia died at home in Fresno. He had had a stroke. And but I'll tell you, for a while after Suavecito, Malo became huge. The name, by the way, was an outgrowth of Garcia's first band, which was the Malibus. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Jan is in Dallas. What's up, Jan?
Oh, hi. Not too much. I had a request for next week.
Okay.
And if the request freaks you out, I have backup. It's What's the Matter, Baby, Timmy Euro.
Oh, I love Timmy Euro.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Is it hurting you? Absolutely. You got it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Yeah, What's the Matter, Baby. Timmy Euro probably didn't ever record a bad song. She was just terrific. And sadly, completely addicted to tobacco, and just even after she had a tracheotomy, she was smoking through the trach, just could not give it up. And sadly, that of course is what claimed her. Tom in Harrisburg, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I have a couple of songs that might fit the criteria.
Oh, your guilty pleasures, yes.
Pardon?
I say your guilty pleasures, yes.
Oh, yes. True, but I won't admit it. Smokey and
Living Next Door to Alice.
Yeah.
All right. I loved that song. Yeah. I'm not embarrassed to admit I loved Living Next Door to Alice. All right. Yeah.
Oh.
Smokey. Yeah. That's a medley of their hit, as you know.
Yes. I wasn't sure if it was just in other countries or if it was a hit in the United States.
Also. Oh, it was a big hit here.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. 1976, it was on RAK. Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed that.
No, it was...
As I was growing up.
Yeah, they were obviously from the UK, but they had a big hit with that, and then absolutely nothing else.
Yeah, okay. How about A Letter from Sherry by Dale Ward?
Oh, my God. Okay, there you go.
How about Dear One by Larry Finnegan?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Dear One. All right. Proving that anyone can sing, yes.
How about Moody River?
Oh, yeah. Good old Pat Boone.
Yes. How about Dying and a Burying, Roger Miller?
Oh, yeah. One Dying and a Burying, of course.
One Dying and a Burying.
Yeah.
And one more, Sweet Violets Let's by Dinah Shore.
Oh, my God.
I know, that goes way back, doesn't it?
Yeah, Sweet Violet. No, I don't even know. I've got to find this record. I know Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte, but Sweet Violet.
Yeah.
Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
That's all I have.
All right, so now I got to find this Sweet Violet thing. I want to hear this. All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Tom.
Thank you.
All bye. Right. Yeah, Dinosaur was such a big deal. We did. We used to call her Dinosaur. But in any event, and ultimately she was, I guess. I think that she was the older woman in Burt Reynolds' life as she got older. But in any event, she was a very big deal for a while. But I don't know about Sweet Violet. I don't know how I missed this. So, but Smokey, I thought Living Next Door to Alice was a terrific record. So, yeah, it sounded a little like Dr. Hook, actually. So, now I got to find a Sweet Violet. You can call and interrupt the show. I'll tell you about the $50 bills here in a moment, too. But let's see. No, I don't have Sweet Violet on this computer. So I'll have to write it down and find it. And I will. All right. Now, about those $50 bills. Yeah. Because it was a record number. And the first thing that most people thought was that it was inflation, that because everything's going up. Well, the reality is that wasn't it. But and I didn't realize that the $50 bill was like the least popular denomination. But last year, a record number were printed, and that would have been 756,096,000 of them, and that was the highest total of $50 bills in 1 year in more than 40 years. By the way, if you put all those 50s together, if they were all printed for you, you'd have about $37.8 billion. So, yeah, that'd buy you dinner. Hell, it'd buy you a restaurant chain is what'd buy you. In any way, the $50 bill, like I say, it's uncommon, unpopular. And did you know there's superstitions that it's unlucky? I had not known that. And in 2019, 3.5% of all U.S. bills were $50 bills. Now, in 2022, 8.5%. All right, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's more than double. So why more? And like I say, not inflation. Although, let's face it, things that used to cost $20 now probably do cost $50. But it started with the pandemic when people started hoarding cash. And, of course, when they did that, what they discovered is it's easier to squirrel away bigger denominations. Yeah, it takes less $100 bills and $50 bills than it does tens, for instance, if you're squirreling away a lot of them. So the Fed notes that the 2022 print order was heavily influenced by the COVID-19 pandemic. And the San Francisco Fed confirmed that individuals were carrying more cash in their wallets, in their cars, in their houses, and elsewhere. And so the Fed ordered a big uptick of $50 bills. So, like I say, it had been about the rarest bill ordered for years, except for the $2 bill. That would have been more rare. And there was never a $3 bill, though there almost was. In any event, a lot of 50s. In fact, last year, 2022, more 50s than 10s and 5s. And so that's the deal. So the Fed doesn't actually print any physical money itself. It estimates the anticipated demand for the currency and the rate of decay of the bills that are in circulation. Then it orders the money from the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and that's the government agency that prints the money. And then the U.S. Mint, of course, produces the coins. But, you know, the interesting thing is the superstition. I had never heard this. And what it goes back to is who's on the face of the bill. Okay, quickly, who's on the 50? All right, President Ulysses S. Grant, and he notoriously went bankrupt. So people think that the bills are jinxed. And they've been around a while, since 1862, but they didn't put Grant's face on it until 1914. And so it was interesting that in 2010, a Republican from North Carolina attempted to put a measure into Congress to replace Grant with Ronald Reagan on the $50 bill, and ultimately that went absolutely nowhere. Gamblers, casinos, they don't like to carry them because they say it's a jinx. Now, isn't that interesting? Never had heard that in my life. So apparently that is not only because of Ulysses Grant. This has to do with Bugsy Siegel, who allegedly died with only $50 in his pocket. Whether or not that was one $50 bill or smaller denominations, I don't know. But mostly people avoid them because they say they're confused with the 5 or 20. What? And many stores do not accept anything larger than a 20. So that's the deal. And so demand for cash and actually paying with cash are two separate things, as far as that goes. So some people are hoarding the money because, in fact, they, and hoarding is probably the wrong word for that, because there's absolutely nothing wrong if you want to keep some cash on hand, but keeping it for that proverbial rainy day and if they ever need it or whatever, rather than to immediately try and spend it. And actually, in terms of spending, Americans are using less physical cash than ever in daily purchases. And it's fascinating that the amount of cash being held by consumers is still elevated compared to what it was before the pandemic. So most of us are keeping more money, but we're not spending it. Yeah, it's still all fantastic plastic, pretty much. And I don't know at what point, and maybe you do, but originally when it was Bank AmeriCard and MasterCharge, when they came out in the 60s, and prior to that, there were charge cards, but there weren't credit cards. In other words, the Carte Blanche or American Express or Diners Club, it was a charge card. You paid it in full at the end of the month, and it was for convenience. And then here comes Bank of America with the Bank AmeriCard, and then MasterCharge comes out. And the deal there was the idea of the credit card. By the way, if you're long enough of tooth to remember, they really screwed up at first. They mailed these to people, just, you know, unsolicited. And of course, as you probably know, the courts ruled that, you know, the people didn't have to pay back the money. That's why whenever you get those pre-approved offers, you got to sign for them or okay them in some way. Otherwise, you're not liable. But be that as it may, and I digress, the original card agreements for Bank AmeriCard and for MasterCharge as well were very specific in that the merchant could not pass along the fees that were involved in accepting them to the end user. And in order to accept what today is Visa and MasterCard or bank, the others, what we have, Discover has an agreement and American Express has an agreement. But in order to accept them, you have to follow their rules and regs. And one of the rules used to be that you couldn't pass along that that percentage that you were paying. Well, I don't know what year that went out. But boy, did it ever. Because now I don't care where you are in terms of mom-pop businesses. All of them. Are you paying cash or will that be credit? And if it's credit, they add like 3.5% to the bill or something, a convenience charge. So they're passing it on. So obviously something changed in the rules that said you can do that now because that used to be sacrosanct. You could not do that as in your member agreement. And I know I had them. But I guess now all's fair in love and war. And people... of course, with the cash backs. Now, that's another thing, too. Depending on what the fee is and depending on what your bill is and depending on what cash back program you've got, you may save money paying the fee and using the card. You know, if you're getting 2% back on something and it costs $1,000 and the charge for it is, you know, like $1.50 or something, and don't think that doesn't happen. Utilities in particular, it does. Then, you know, take that deal because you'll make money using that plastic, assuming you pay it off at the end of the month. Now, if you start getting into debt and into finance charges, well, that's a whole other deal. I don't advise that on any level. But if you're using them just for convenience and you're paying the bill in full at the end of the month, then by all means, if you've got a cashback card that's giving you 2% or in some cases on some categories 5% and the charge to use the card is minimal, use the card. But otherwise, stay away from debt. That'll kill you, no doubt about that. Although, we were the other night we were looking at cars, and I don't remember what precipitated. Oh yes, I do actually, but it doesn't matter. Precipitated this discussion was somebody who had gotten a new car and with money he shouldn't have used to get it. We'll just say that. And so in talking, you know, I said, hell, I don't even know what cars cost these days, you know, because as far as I'm concerned, if I can't write a check, I don't need it. And so consequently, I don't buy new cars. And that's perfectly fine. So I thought just for the heck of it, because, you know, we have old Escalades that we use to go to transmitter sites and things like that, because basically they're not much more than a tricked out truck and they'll last for a good 400,000 miles without a problem usually. And, you know, they'll set you back if you buy them. Like ours are 2005 models and they cost us about $6,000 each, maybe. And so that's a good deal. But I said, well, what does a new Escalade cost today? Same kind like we've got with all the bells and whistles that we've got. $165,000. Yeah, and I look at this and I say, it better come with indoor plumbing, a friend of mine said, and a sewer too. Yeah, right. But the reality is that that it's gotten to the point where nobody asks what anything, you know, costs. They ask what the payments are. And, you know, 11-year payments, well, yeah, I thought it was crazy when they went to 7 years. Yeah, so I don't know. It makes no sense to me. But that's the real problem with credit, of course, is people buying things that they otherwise probably should not buy. Yeah, and we see that in housing, too. You know, people not asking what does the house cost. It's, well, what are the mortgage payments? And, of course, that's been interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what goes with this because a lot of people got into some really pricey homes at terrific rates, you know, in the 2% range, incredibly good rates, which I doubt they'll see again. So they're somewhat locked into that house at this point. Yeah, because, you know, if they depends on how much equity they have, but assuming it's fairly minimal, they can't sell that and move into a comparable house because they won't get that mortgage. So, I don't know. We all sometimes sit around saying, what's going to happen to real estate prices? Well, the law of supply and demand is involved in the equation. And I'm telling you, if people find out that they have to pay a fortune for a loan that they're paying almost nothing for now, their likelihood of moving is pretty nil, which keeps the supply tight. So we'll see. I'll leave that to financial experts who know what they're doing, because God knows it's not me. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, yes, the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club is in full swing. And I admit my true confession time. I don't really hate them. I'm ambivalent. I don't care either way. But for many people, it's ho-ho, oh-no, because the forced frivolity is more than they want to take for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's just this year because it's particularly tough. For other people, it's just this life. But whatever, no false frivolity here, promise. And the only Christmas music you'll hear is at some point I'm going to play Gee Whiz, It's Christmas by Carla Thomas because I like it and people laugh when I play it in May. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Mike in South Dakota in moments right here on WGN Radio.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is love potion number 9. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like India ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes,
I took a drink.
I didn't know it was a day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. But when I kissed a cop at 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Clovers, of course. Lever and Solar's Love Potion, number 9. That's for Ruth and Gurney, who wanted to hear that. And a fine song it was. So we will have another half hour of this. We're going to lead with Mike in South Dakota. He's going to admit to his guilty pleasures. All coming up on WGN Radio.
I remember when I told you that I'd try in every way to hold you and kiss you and love you and keep you till my dying day. You just laughed and said you found somebody new and you didn't need all the things I could do. Now you've found out that your new love isn't true like he should be. You say that you're gonna forget him and you're gonna come back to me. Well, things have changed and I found me somebody new, someone to make me forget about you. And I'm telling you that it's too late to say you're sorry. It's too late to say you're mine. I have found myself a new love and I'm going to make her mine. It's too late. It's too late. Many days I tried to call you, many nights I spent alone. Everyone knew that I loved you, but you had a love of your own. But now that he's gone, you think you can come back to me. But I'm not the same fool that I used to be. And you're gonna see that it's too late.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's for Cleveland Dennis, a Bobby Goldsboro fan. And for a lot of these songs, I am too. Didn't mind a one of them. Well, maybe a one of them, but not this one. 888-876-5593. Mike is in South Dakota, going to confess his guilty pleasures to us on WGN. So go for it, Mike.
Yeah, mine is Lawrence Welk, Calcutta.
All right. Yes, his only big hit on Top 40 Radio. Absolutely. All right.
Yep.
right.
And what? Oh, the Wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald.
Oh, you like
showed
that,
up
huh?
on.
Yeah. Good.
And it showed up on the worst ones too.
Yeah, usually
and,
does.
When I heard that, I looked up years ago on Tommy Mischke out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. He had a late night program. He interviewed a guy that wrote a book on that, and just on a whim, he sang all his questions to the
That's
to
funny.
The melody of Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, that's perfect. All right.
And what was also perfect is the guy he was interviewing, he said he figured he'd been on the radio since 5 o'clock that morning.
Yeah.
You know, during the daytime, because it was like the 25th anniversary or something. The guy, the author of the book, he didn't bat an eye.
I'll bet he didn't.
He just gives straight answers to the questions. He's saying another question. I mean, the questions weren't absurd. You know, what was the storm early? You know,
yeah, right.
Why do, you know, who was Edmund Fitzgerald?
Uh-huh.
All these questions. And,
well, let me ask you, how accurate did the song turn out to be?
I guess it was pretty accurate. You know, the stuff about the cook saying, "Fells, it's too rough to feed Diddy," and all that was just made up artistic license. But, you know, the song is, you know, just a story song.
Absolutely
and
is.
I guess pretty accurate.
Interesting. I wish I could have heard that. That's the kind of thing that you wish was still on YouTube or something.
I pulled it off the internet.
Really?
Someplace.
Oh, so I might be able to find it. Okay. I'll look for that.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It was under Mischke and then something about frequently requested.
Okay.
Something.
T.D. Mischke. I remember well. Okay. I could see him doing that too. M-I-S-C-H-K-E. All right. singing Edmund Fitzgerald questions. We'll go with that. And see, I want to hear this. That's too good. All right. Let's see. I have the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. He's commenting on it. He's playing some of it there. All right. Well, good. I'm going to listen to this, and if it's arable, we will. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And you were mentioning that the wireline phones are so much reliable. You know, the reason for that is, you know, if you bought your iPhone 8 for $500 and it doesn't work anymore, they'll sell you iPhone 15 for $1,000. Back in the days when it was Ma Bell.
Well, they just replaced the phone, right?
Your phone didn't work, came out and fixed it and didn't charge you a nickel.
Right, but it really wasn't the equipment. It was the network. And, you know, even going back to the step-by-step days, it was just so much more solid than VoIP is. You know, I mean, we're not comparing it to cells because that's a different thing. But a lot of landlines today, somewhere in that equation, it turns into voice over internet protocol. And, you know, that's not yet an art form. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been doing digital data for...
Yes.
You know,
went digital absolutely.
Since about the 50s.
Oh, absolutely. And data is much more forgiving than voice. But yes, and they could do it, but not the way they're doing it. You know, I mean, we get what we pay for. And I'm fine with that. When I, you know, my phone bills in the old landline days used to be over $1,000 a month. So, you know, now to pay basically nothing for long distance, well, hey, they can send me a couple of Dixie cups and a string and I won't really complain. But it isn't. You know, and the other thing, of course, is that VoIP is power dependent. You're just not going to have a phone if you don't have power. And that was not true with landlines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was working fire alarms, we did a lot of the phone switching buildings.
Right.
And they would have banks of batteries in there. Actually, I'm out in the boonies now, but I can see the light on the horizon from one of their microwave things that I worked on several times. They have racks of batteries. It would fill a semi, the stacks of batteries they have in there.
Oh, of course. And, of course, for ESS and EAX and even Crossbar, they need it. But for the old step-by-step, I would argue that even if the batteries failed, you were still going to be able to make a call.
Yeah, well, the batteries furnish the power down the wire to the phone in your house.
Well, yes, but minuscule compared to what's needed in electronic switching.
Yeah.
So, yeah it's interesting. And these are the shakeout years. 100 years from now, people have, no different than, flipping on the light switch and expecting the light to come on. It'll be like that. But for these years, especially when you're dealing with asymmetrical connections, we are living in a certain kind of hell.
Yeah.
So nothing I can do about it. I keep clamoring for just make it symmetrical, but my voice is usually not heard.
Yeah.
So, but fun stuff. So you worked telephony for years, did you?
Well, what I did, we worked fire alarm and sound, school intercoms and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And we did fire alarms in several of the AT&T installations.
Okay.
Was some of that
ISDN dependent?
Well, I don't know. Our stuff, I mean, we just had to step around the equipment and check the smoke detectors and things.
Okay.
One thing I did know with AT&T, in all those facilities, they had ladders, and the ladders must have been meant to last. We said, or they had a joke that, AT&T had a secret process that they could turn oak into lead because those ladders were heavy.
Yes. Oh, that's interesting.
But they were solid. I mean, looking at them, you could tell they were 40 years old, but they were still in good shape.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, and your songs are duly noted.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. ISDN ultimately is going to be switched off. That's coming. And I've heard dates like 2025 or whatever. And, there's not that much application for it anymore. You still have a certain amount of ATMs that are using it. And some of the Siemens stuff, they're still migrating from ISDN to IP. So that would be some of the fire alarm systems that they're dealing with. And so you got a lot of security alarms that are, an ISDN setup. So it's going to be interesting to see as it goes to IP, because the phone companies are fighting not to have to provide it, just like they'd rather not provide you landline service either. All right. And again, for the most part, they don't. All right. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Murray, we'll get to Cleveland Dennis, we'll get to you, and another bumper coming up in moments here on WGN Radio.
She may not look as glamorous as a movie star, and she may not live in a palace or drive an expensive car.
Got so
baby, no.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it's an acquired taste. It's Larry Williams, and it's on Chess, actually, from 1959. And Larry was an interesting case. Great songwriter, you know, Boney Maroney and Short Fat Fanny and Slow Down and Dizzy Miss Lizzy and Bad Boy and so much more. And he was a good friend of Little Richard as well. But sadly, his real relationship was with illegal substances. He absolutely was a hardcore drug user, and there was a lot of violence in his life, and so he died when he was 44 years old. His mother found him dead at home in Los Angeles, and the cops ruled it a suicide, but to this day there was speculation that it was involvement with drugs and allegedly with prostitution, but no one was charged, and that was the deal. He's interned at Inglewood Park in Inglewood in Los Angeles. And what was interesting is there was a drummer from the Chicago area, Martin Alberton, who claimed to be Larry Williams and claimed he was alive and well. And that was about the time that Larry Williams, his mother would know, was found dead. And so you had the fake Larry Williams, performing as a drummer for Bobby Blue Bland and all sorts of that, calling himself Big Larry Williams and all that. But he was absolutely not. In fact, at some point, Etta James, who knew the real Larry Williams, confronted him as far as that goes. And Williams' family had, implored him to stop billing himself as Larry Williams, and ultimately didn't matter because he died too. All right, so let's see. 888-876-5593 will take us to Murray in Chicago. All right, Murray.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing tonight?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. I have some guilty pleasures that all happen to be disco songs.
It's okay.
And when they came out, I hated them. I was a big rock and roll drummer at the time, and I hated all the disco, but I was interested in a young lady who liked going dancing, so I, bit the bullet and went with her to the disco clubs and all that.
Okay.
But now I find myself liking these songs, and one of them is Ring My Bell.
Okay, Anita Ward.
Another one is Le Freak.
Okay, Chic.
By Chic.
Yeah.
I'm Your Boogeyman by Casey and the Sunshine Band.
All right.
And Love Roller Coaster.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. And then I just wanted to say that I don't know how I missed this one when you were taking the turkeys, the worst songs ever, but the Tell Me What You Want, What You Really, Really Want by the Spice Girls.
Oh, yes.
Institution after hearing it a couple times.
You would think so. And in the past, it's gotten votes. It's never made the top 10, but it's gotten votes. But this year, it didn't even get a vote.
Yeah, I snoozed on that one. But every time I'm driving and I hear it, I'm like, oh, my God, how did I not tell Raleigh about this one?
Well, there's always next year because we'll do it again. But your choices are duly noted. I was waiting for you to tell me something like Foxy or Peter Brown, but that's okay.
Okay, well, thank you. Have a good evening.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, Peter Brown. I thought some of his stuff was great. And clever guy, too. Yeah. So, Chicagoan, suburban. We've got Cleveland Dennis, who is closing out the night. So you heard your Larry Williams.
Yeah, you're right. It's not as as good as I first.
It's a truly terrible record, but I will admit there is something about that record in the same way that there is about some Screamin' Jay Hawkins things. There's just something.
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there. I get it. I was just going to say that as well, reading your mind here.
Yeah.
But they talk about disco. I still got a disco shirt from the late 80s that, my older kids bought me, and we used to still go out disco dancing up to about 2000, I think. And every now and then I give it out for somebody to use when they want to dress up like a disco dancer on Halloween.
No, that's absolutely perfect. I still have a shirt from 1979 from a radio station where I was working that says "Ready for the 80s," and it was it was plugging some disco group, and it's a black shirt with green letters. I'll have to dig that out and try to remember who the hell they were plugging.
Well, if you're, getting ready for the 80s, that's me.
Yeah, right. Ready for the 80s. I still have this shirt, and I guess the fact that it still fits, maybe that's something, but I don't know that I should wear it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal.
I like the previous caller. No, two back. We was talking about AT&T and all that phone and all that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I have two daughters that work for AT&T now 20-some years, and there's some interesting stories that go, you know, back from when they first started till now. But anyhow, somebody mentioned Lawrence Welk. I remember when I was an 18-year-old, my dad worked for a car dealership at the time. The owner of the car dealership had a picture of him and Lawrence Welk next to a plane somewhere in North Dakota.
Perfect.
And and my mother used to watch it every week.
Oh, it was huge. You know, there are two shows that the networks have canceled that were even bigger in syndication. And one of them was the Lawrence Welk Show, and the other was Hee Haw. And in both cases, the networks couldn't wait to get rid of these shows, and they were huge for decades in syndication.
Right. I just watched a small documentary on Hee Haw.
Oh, yeah.
1966, the Ronettes opened for the Beatles. Maybe you could use that for your Beatle guy. I'm sure he'll know.
Oh,
that.
He'll know that. Yeah, yeah. We got some really odd stuff. But yeah. I'll try. All right, I'll have to look for that Hee Haw documentary. A very good friend of mine was their head writer, and Bud Wingard. He's no longer alive, of course, but I've mentioned before that Bud used to take my DJ prep sheets like Ideas Inc. or the Electric Weenie and all that, and he'd rewrite the jokes. And the funniest part was the guy who did the Electric Weenie was a friend of mine who wound up rewriting his own jokes after Bud rewrote them on Hee Haw.
I guess that could happen in that business, but it is a fascinating documentary.
All right, I'll look. Yeah, Young Street Productions. I'll look for that.
Yeah, now somebody also mentioned Pat Boone.
Yes.
Pat Boone. Around 1976, he was at Rex Humbard's Cathedral of Tomorrow doing some type of tape recording. It was the new, at the time, 1976, process. And they tape them, and then we'd have to send them to England, these tapes. And they did something to them, and they sent them back, and then they used them for distribution, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there he was, Pat Boone. And he's doing the recording, and we're right there. They let us into the recording studio to watch it, gave us the tape when they're done, and I touched royalty to a degree right then and there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's certainly Ohio, because that Cathedral of Tomorrow, when Rex Humbard retired and went to Florida, Ernest Angley took it over, and that was a real show.
Akron, Ohio.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Ernest Angley Heel. But yeah, I love that stuff.
I got three more points, maybe four.
Mm.
But going back to Dick Liberatore, I spoke with Freddie Cannon one time when I was there at the station. He was doing an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, Larry Williams, Specialty Records, got a few, Little Richard, mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. When you played Bobby Goldsboro,
mm-hmm.
I got a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks like Tony Orlando.
Not in person.
Oh, probably not, but it's just a picture.
Yeah.
But when I think of Tony Orlando, how about Halfway to Paradise sometime?
Yes, and Bless You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last item, you played Strange I Know by the Marvelettes.
Yes.
A few years ago when you first started and I found your show, which I've been addicted to since, I called in and requested, or we talked about the Marvelettes.
Yeah.
So it's one of them nights, Raleigh.
All right. Well, glad to have you keeping me company, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
That'll be fine. Thank you.
All right,
you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that'll be at midnight 30 Central Time, that'd be 1:30 East Coast Time, whatever. You do the arithmetic. In the meantime, until then, that'll be a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank those of you who called, because it makes the show easier to do, and I like easy. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.